Welcome to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. We exist to help people find and follow Jesus here in Gahanna, Ohio. For more information about our church, visit us online at threecreekschurch.com.
So far apart and to grow close again. And again, I remember just sleeping in the same bed, like, I don't know, this is weird. Yeah, and just getting to know each other again. But it took two of us at that point rather than what I had felt like just one of us.
I remember I would do something and like I would catch her surprise and I could see it, but she wouldn't say anything. And be like, hey, I'm not the same guy. Like, right? Like I would just try to make sure she knew that I knew that she knew that I knew. That still happens today. Just putting more effort in. I mean, she has done an awesome job raising our three kids. Over the last year, we've made a lot of progress. I think it's at the best we've ever had it right now.
Man, can we get up for the Lord real quick for that amazing story? I'm telling you, I just get this because of, I guess, my role in this church. I just get to see these stories, and that's just one of countless stories that God has just orchestrated and written in this church. The more time you spend around this church, the more stories you're going to hear. Maybe some of them are your stories. Maybe year two is the year that God writes an incredible story in your life, one like that, where there's no way to explain it other than God came in and changed somebody's life. So I'm so excited. Happy birthday, Three Creeks. We're a year into this thing, which is kind of, it's really wild to think about. I told you last week we were going to get you a present. So we went and we bought these beautiful bricks. And we got a little stamp and there's just a little Three Creeks logo on there. And I wanted to get you this because I want to just say thank you to everybody who's been here this past year. Whether this is your first time or you've been here since day one, we've got a whole stack of these things in Three Creeks Central. We would love for you to take one of these. I don't know how nice you think it is and where you'll put it based on that, but whether it goes in your yard or on your mantle, I don't know, and I don't even care. I just want you to see this thing at some point and say, hey, God did something and is doing something at Three Creeks Church, and I hope that this would be a visual reminder for you that God is honored in your commitment to help us start this church. Thank you for being the foundation of what God is doing here. I feel like the appropriate way to start the party today is to open up our Bibles. So if you got your Bibles, go ahead and open those things. If you don't have a Bible today, we've got a table right back there with a stack of them, and you could grab one on your way out today. That'd be our gift to you. And if you don't, but if you don't have one in your hands right now, we'll throw the words up on the screen just so that we can all follow along. I just want to tell you a quick story, and then I want to tell you how it kind of is a story that for me illustrates what God has done in our first year as a church. So go to the book of John. John's in the New Testament towards the back. John was written by Jesus's best friend, John. And John just writes about 20 chapters of stories about Jesus. He was an eyewitness account, and it's story after story. Many of the stories that you know about Jesus, just by, you know, being around church or being around people that love Jesus, you may have heard some of these stories. Maybe the one we're going to read this morning is one you've heard before. It's in John chapter 9, and we're going to start right in verse 1. And you may have heard it before, but we're going to read it together this morning. I'm going to tell you how it illustrates for me the story of Three Creeks in year one. Verse 1 starts talking about Jesus and his 12 disciples. His disciples were the 12 guys that followed him around the most. And verse 1 says this, as Jesus went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Essentially, whose fault is it that this guy is blind? And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. As long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And so I want you to imagine for a second, you know, you see Jesus and you got 12 disciples and they're walking down the road and you know, they come up to this guy. He's been blind since birth. He's never seen a thing in his life. He's never seen a sunset. He's never seen a girl. He's never seen a pool. He hasn't seen anything in his life. And the disciples, they say, Jesus, whose fault is it? Why is this guy blind? And Jesus says, this guy's blind so that the work of God might be displayed in him. Look at verse 6. After saying this, Jesus spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it on the man's eyes. Go, he said, and wash in the pool of Siloam. This word means sent. So the man went and washed and came home seeing. He went home, or he went to the pool and he washed and he came home seeing. So I'm just imagining the scene. Disciples go, why is this guy blind? And Jesus says, so that the work of God might be displayed in him. And he spits on the ground. He makes a little bit of mud in his hands and he rubs it in his eyes. I don't know about you, but I think that's disgusting. But he does it anyways and he rubs it in his eyes and he says, go wash in the pool of Siloam. And I just want you to think for a second, how is this guy going to get to the pool of Siloam? He's blind. I mean, he's certainly not running there. And you think, well, this guy's been blind his whole life. So the smells and the sounds and maybe a couple of his friends help him just take one step at a time towards this pool. Though every step just thinking, you've got to be kidding me. Like he probably would have heard of this Jesus, but he doesn't know him to recognize him. He's never seen anything in his life. But he's got nothing else to do, and so he goes, well, fine, I guess I'll give it a shot. And he just takes one step at a time and makes his way to the pool of Siloam. And I've been there. I've seen this place with my own eyes. And I just imagine him taking one step at a time down. I mean, these pools were kind of carved out of the ground. They had a step that would go into them, and just one step at a time, finally gets to the point where the water's chest high and he's at the bottom level of the pool. And I just imagine, I'm just trying to imagine being there as he dunks under the water and comes up and washes the mud off of his eyes and he sees things for the first time. He sees things for the first time. I don't know the words that would convince you that this is an amazing experience for him. You just imagine being there. Imagine being that person who sees something for the first time. Have you seen one of those YouTube videos where people, you know, hear for the first time or see for the first time the expression on their face? It makes me cry when I see things like that. I just imagine being there in person. This guy gets to see for the first time. And then look what happens. Look what happens in verse 8. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? Isn't this the blind guy? And some people were saying, yes, this is the blind guy. But look at the next verse. Others said, nope, it only looks like him. It just looks like the blind guy. It can't really be the blind guy. The blind guy, there's no way that he could see. It's illogical. It's impossible. There's no way that it's actually the guy that's been begging. And then look at the end of verse 9. But he himself insisted, I am the man. I am the man. I'm the man that begged blind my whole life right there. And because of Jesus, I can see. And then this is the part right here, verse 10 and 11, that helps me take this story and I just identify with it with our first year as a church. They asked him, how then were your eyes opened? And he replied, the man they call Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed. And then I could see. The first thing he says, how were your eyes open? He says, the man they called Jesus did it. The man they called Jesus did it. I didn't even really know who he was. This guy that people called Jesus, he did it. I don't even know him to recognize him, but they said his name was Jesus and he did it. And people kept coming, going, are you really the guy? Are you really the guy that used to sit here? How did this happen? How can you see? And he said, the man that they called Jesus did it. Jesus did it. He didn't take any credit for himself. He just said, the man that they called Jesus did it. Let me just ask you, have you ever been a part of something in your life that is unexplainable without God? Have you ever been a part of something that is illogical, impossible, no way that you can reason yourself into it without the intervention of God himself? I've had those experiences. I don't know if you have, but I have had those experiences. And it's the greatest feeling in the world to know that you didn't do it and that God did it. When I watched that story of John and Laura, that video was long, but it could have been 30 minutes longer of all that God has done. And if you were to ask John and Laura, John, Laura, how did this happen? How did your marriage go from heading directly to separation? How did it go where you guys have come back and you're doing better than ever? They would say the man that they call Jesus did it. That's their answer. They can't explain what has happened other than to say the man they call Jesus did it. And I don't know the last time that you've had that experience, but I just want to just tell you the story, some of the behind the scenes stuff of Three Creeks Church in year one. And I want to welcome you into a story that I cannot explain. If somebody were to ask me, Joel, how did this happen? I would say, I don't know. Other than to say the man they call Jesus has done this. I didn't conjure it up. I'm not smart enough. I'm not funny enough. I'm not clever enough. I haven't written any books. The man named Jesus did this. So I want to welcome you into that story so that you might this morning experience something that is inexplainable outside of the power of God. When we launched this church, you guys, we kind of identified four core values. And I want to walk you through the four core values that we started with, the ones that we still hold on to. I'm going to show you how in each one of them, we can just say, it's the man, how did this happen? It's the man that they called Jesus who did this. So if you guys remember, we started with a series called This Is Us. There it is. We started with a series called This Is Us, and we laid out these four core values, and we said, listen, we're not taking our cues from another book. We're not taking our cues from a conference, or another pastor, or another church. We're taking our cues, our values as a church, straight from the Bible, and we laid that out. After that, we started this series called How to Start a Movement, and we talked about Jesus. For 8 weeks, I described to you that how is it possible that 2,000 years after Jesus was on the earth, that 2.2 billion people still put their faith in him, and the rest of the people in the world still say his name when they stub their toe. This guy, his movement continues on. And we talked about that for 8 weeks. And then after How to Start a Movement, we did a series called The Psalms for Every Season. We went through six different psalms. And we tried to show you that God wants to be your provider and your comforter in the highest of your highs and the lowest of your lows, that God is there. And then all summer, we went through this thing called The Summer on the Mount. We went through Matthew 6, Matthew 7, and Matthew 8. It's the most famous sermon ever delivered by Jesus himself. That was the series that I just remember having conversation after conversation after conversation of God moving and changing people's lives in ways that I didn't even say anything. People would say to me things like, remember when you said that in your message? I said, no, I don't. Listen to the podcast. I didn't say that. God is speaking to you in a way that I'm not speaking to you. That was an amazing series. And then in the fall, if you guys remember, we did a series called Run. We went through 2 Timothy. We read every single verse of 2 Timothy, and we showed you guys that what it looks like to run after Jesus, what it looks like to help somebody else run after Jesus. And you guys loved it so much that like 15 of you bought shirts. And then after that, we did a series called Unexpected. We walked through, we talked about how there's 300 prophecies that were written about Jesus hundreds of years before Jesus was born in a manger. We looked at 3 or 4 of them. And we just marveled at how the odds at which, the impossible odds, the way that Jesus came, the way that he did it, he fulfilled all 300 of these prophecies. And then for the last 6 weeks, we did a series called In the Beginning. It was the beginning of the year. We started in the beginning of our Bible, and we looked at 6 iconic stories, and we tried to tell them in ways that maybe you didn't hear in Sunday school so that you might understand that every story, every character, every genealogy, every story in the Bible from the very beginning whispers the name of Jesus. You guys, the reason that we do it this way, the reason that we walk through portions of Scripture, the reason we take a 2 Timothy and go the whole way through is because 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 says that it is the word of God that is at work in the hearts of men. It is not clever words. It is not persuasive words. It is not better ideas that changes people's lives. It is the word of God that is at work in the hearts of men. And so every time somebody's up here, we open up our Bibles and we read the Bible together because that is what changes people's lives. I'm not smart enough or clever enough to do anything long-lasting for you. It is the Word of God that is at work in the hearts of men. And you guys, in our first year, we had 16 people come forward and say that they publicly wanted to declare their faith in Jesus and they were baptized. You guys, I didn't conjure it up. I didn't bribe them. I didn't say, you will look great coming out of a dunk tank in our service. I didn't convince them in any way. God worked in their hearts. They raised their hand. They said, I want to tell everybody that I follow Jesus. And if you were to ask me, Joel, how did this happen? I would have to say, in honesty, with integrity, I would have to say to you, the man they called Jesus did it. I didn't come up with it. I didn't convince anybody of anything. The man that they called Jesus did it. This party is not for our church. It's not for me. It's not for you. This party is for Jesus today because the man they called Jesus did it. And then, you guys, our second core value is the word gather. We say we just grow better when we're in groups. I guess it's okay if you need your alone time, but it's just better. You just grow better when you're in a group of people. And so we meet here on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock. And we gather in community groups during the week. We just think it's so valuable. You guys, listen, you can listen to podcasts and you can listen to worship music and you can pray and read your Bibles. And I want you to do those things. But there's something special when the people of God get together and worship God together. You guys, when we, in our launch season in the fall of 2017, so like a year and a half ago, we averaged about 70 people. 76 people. That was our fall average. And then we publicly launched a year ago. We had 238 people from all over the place coming and wanting to support what God was doing here at Three Creeks Church. And then over our first couple months, we averaged 140 people in here in our Sunday morning gathering together. And then as the fall went on, I'm trying to think, in the fall, let's go to the next slide. I'm not really sure what the next, oh, Christmas. Christmas Eve, we actually had two services. We had 298 people. I really wanted to count babies in the womb, but, you know, just to get over that 300. And then, you guys, last month, we've averaged 175 people since the start of the year. And if you were to ask me, Joel, how did this happen? With integrity and with honesty, I would have to say that I did not conjure this up, that the man they call Jesus is doing this. You guys, we started with 5 community groups. We went to 7, we went to 9, and now we have 11 community groups, and there's 129 people in our church in a community group every week eating food, every week opening their Bible, every week praying, every week getting free babysitting. Can I get an amen? I mean, I'm telling you guys, this is where life change is happening. This is where relationships are going to last a long time are happening. And if you were to say, Joel, how did we do that? It's not a strategy. The man they call Jesus is doing this. You guys, in my Bible, it is so clear where people are asking Paul. Paul's this great missionary, church planner. Everything that Paul touches just seems like it just grows. And they say, Paul, you know, how are you doing this? He says, listen. I might be planting things and my buddy might be watering things, but let me just make sure I set the record straight. It is God that makes things grow. It is God that makes things grow. You guys, I am not smart or funny enough to keep you here. The music is great, but there's other places in Columbus that you can go and listen to good music. Our kids volunteers are off the charts. They're pretty good at the YMCA too. You guys, God is building this church. And if you were to say, how did this happen? I have to say, it's the man they call Jesus who did this. The third core value of our church is the word serve. We just have said from the beginning that we are a lot less interested in making the people in here comfortable, and we're more focused on making the people that aren't in here feel loved, served, and cared for. That we are a church that exists for those that are not here today. We want to be a church that if we left, that Gehenna would miss us. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. We know that's going to take many years of consistent service. But that's the mission that we're on, to serve Gehenna in a way that if we left, that people who don't even know who we are would say, where did Three Creeks go? They were serving us. They were helping us. They were what we needed. This is the kind of church that we're trying to be. You guys, a year and a half ago, we did this food drive. Tyler was talking about it just a minute ago. We did this food drive. Like 50 people showed up. And there were so many cans of green beans. There were so many bags of food. It took us so much longer than it should have taken us because we were so unorganized. And you guys, it was awesome. And then a couple weeks later, we asked the Gahanna Parks and Rec office. We said, hey, how can we help you? They said, hey, what if you guys did like this thing at Creepside and you guys had this big pumpkin painting station? We're like, sure, whatever. You know, your idea, we'll just do it. Whatever you think is a good idea. And then we were just 75 people at this point. We started the Gahanna Gift Shop. Or at that point, it's called the Goshen Lane Gift Shop. It was just here at this school. And 75 people raised 800 gifts and 68 families came through here and were blessed. 68 families from this school, from the free reduced lunch program, came through here. They had no other way to provide Christmas for their kids and they came through here and we were able to serve them. And then the next spring, 88 of you donated your time, your energy, your talents to what this thing that we called the free gift, where you guys were donating, you know, tutoring hours and basketball lessons and gutter cleaning and power washing. I mean, John Green donated like 15 gifts. This guy's unbelievable. You guys, I'm telling you, I've heard some of these stories, and I know you didn't get to see all the stories, but I've heard some of these stories that relationships that are still going on today because you guys donated your time, your energy, your service to somebody in this city who needed help. And then last summer, we did the Grin Summer Lunch Program here. We had a youth group come in, and they cleaned around three or four of the Gahanna schools. We spent a whole morning here at Goshen Lane cleaning up their courtyard and weeding the outside. We just asked the schools, how could we help? And they said that was the best way to do it. And then in August, we had this thing called the Friday Fun Day. It was a part of this school's back to school program. And we threw a huge party out here on the field and 500 people came. And we just said, hey, we're Three Creeks. We meet here every Sunday at 10 a.m. And we are here to serve you. We're posturing ourselves as available. If you have any questions about God, we are here for you. We asked the Parks and Rec again. We said, how can we help? They said, can you bring twice as many pumpkins? We said, sure. So we brought 1,000 pumpkins to Creepside, and it rained. So we only got rid of about 400 of them. And then we pulled the trailer around here, and we sent an email to this whole school. We said, hey, if any teacher needs paint supplies or wipes or pumpkins or whatever, come and take them. And we came back like 3 days later. The trailer was empty. And then we partnered with New Life. And we did the Gahanna Gift Shop. We did it both here and over at Royal Manor. So we served about 200 families. We had about 1,500 gifts. And I want to tell you in a second how it's going to get a little bit bigger. But you guys, that was an amazing opportunity. While that was going on, we had 10 people in the village of Tise, Burkina Faso, Africa. And we planted a church. We built a church. We dug a well, or we came back and we raised money to dig a well and build a pastor's house and get the pastor farming equipment. You guys, all this in year one. And if you were to ask me, Joel, how did all this happen? With integrity, I have to just be honest and say it's the man Jesus that did this. He has led us and guided us and showed us unbelievable favor. You guys, the favor, listen to this, the favor that God has shown us in this city. With teachers, with principals, with local businesses, with other churches, with City Hall, with the mayor. You guys, the one weekend that it blizzarded, or you know, it was supposed to be this huge storm, it was kind of like medium one, they canceled everything in Gahanna schools on that Saturday, right? Because it was gonna be crazy, and it like rained all day. But they canceled everything. You guys, on the Friday night before that happened, when they were canceling everything, the superintendent of Gahanna School, Steve Barrett, called me and said, hey, Joel, I just want you to know that we believe in what you're doing, and we really want you to be able to have church, so we're not canceling it on Sunday. The superintendent of Gahanna Schools, find me another church that has the superintendent of the school district calling the pastor on a Friday night. You guys, I haven't even bought the guy lunch. I didn't do that. God's favor. You guys, every week, my jaw drops at something that I walk into that I know that God has prepared for me. The way that he has gone before me in this stuff, there's no way I can take credit with any amount of integrity. It's the man, Jesus, who has done this. And then the fourth core value that we have is the word love. We just said, whoever you are, Wherever you're from, whatever you believe, you're welcome at Three Creeks Church. Everybody's on a spiritual journey. Some people have been here since day one. Some people have been following Jesus forever. Some people are in here and you're literally in church, I think probably for the first time in your life. Wherever you're at on that journey, we welcome you here. We want to help you find and follow God. To some extent, listen, to some extent, we are all on a journey to figure out how much God loves us. And you guys, God has put together a unique, and that is the nice way of saying weird, group of people in this church. Just this week, I started to write down some of the random people in this church. Listen, we've got ER nurses, social media marketers, photographers, financial advisors, window installers, event planners, athletic trainers, teachers and students and college basketball players, musicians. We've got people with purple hair in here. We have a professional drone flyer in this room right now. Did you know that? We've got somebody who goes to this church who travels around the world speaking to thousands of people about investing in students that have been emotionally abused. He's the world's greatest speaker about this thing, and he goes to this church. Did you know the person who made the dressing that goes on the Wendy's apple cob salad goes to this church? I'm not lying. She goes here. We got people with grown children. We got people with grandchildren. We've got people with high school children. We've got people with middle school children. We're praying for you. We've got people with elementary kids. We've got like 800 babies back there. We have Michigan fans in this church. If this doesn't tell you how loving of a church we are, you guys, I know somebody in this church that consistently listens to Nickelback. We love you, no matter who you are. Every person's on a spiritual journey, and we're all trying to figure out how much God loves us. You guys, I love this church. God's putting it together. I don't connect relationally with half of you. I don't have the same interests as maybe most of you. I don't know. I mean, some of us, we strike it off easy, but most of us, we know who one another are, but we don't have a lot in common. But God is putting this together. He's building this unique church. And if you were to ask me, Joel, how did this happen? I'd have to say, with integrity, I'd have to say it's the man named Jesus who did this. And if you've been a part of this church, you're a part of something that isn't explainable without the intervention of God. And I've seen under the hood, I've seen behind the scenes, and I guess I know more than you. I'm just asking you to believe me that what is going on here is not built on any person other than Jesus Christ. Let me just close with this. You know, I've been kind of talking about our church, I've been talking about our group, I've been talking about our values, I'm talking about maybe this organization that kind of all of us are underneath. Let me just ask you a personal question. In year two, what do you dream that God will do in your life? Think about it for a minute. Don't let this one pass you by. What do you dream? You. What do you dream that God will do in your life this year? And I'm not talking about something logical. I'm not asking you to think about something reasonable. I'm not asking you to dream up of something that you can explain. I'm talking about the thing in your life that if everything is possible with God, that you would ask God for. What's the one thing in your life that you're dreaming that God would do in your life this year? You guys, listen, if we get to the point where everything in our life can be explained, everything is usual, nothing abnormal. If we get to that point, we are completely dependent on ourselves. We're not depending on God. The place where your faith grows the most is when you put yourself in a place where you need God. Is there anything in your life that you need God for right now? Is there anything that you're laying before God? You know, your willpower can only take you so far. You've tried your hardest. What's the one thing in your life that you wish that God would do for you this year so that you might come back on year two? Happy birthday. Three Creeks turns two. You might come back in 12 months, look back on this year, and somebody were to say, how did that happen? And you would say, it was too big. I couldn't have done it on my own. The man that they call Jesus did this. What's that thing for you? Let me just ask you a couple questions. Maybe one of these is the one that you're thinking right now. How's your marriage? Is it on the rocks? Are you just scratching your head wondering how it got this bad? Have things been said that you wish you could take back? Are you in a spot where you go, I don't think there's a whole lot of hope? I'm just telling you that if that's you, Jesus is the restorer. The man they call Jesus can restore you. I know it. Would you lay that before Jesus today? Or maybe, I'm just kind of throwing a couple things out there. Are you depressed? Are you battling depression right now? You're kind of in a spot where you have no idea how it got this bad. You have no idea how you got to where you are. You've tried seemingly everything to get you more joy, but just every morning you wake up going, why do I feel this way? You guys, would you lay that before Jesus today? The man they call Jesus can heal you. He can. Is there a relationship in your life that is broken? Maybe with a family member, maybe with a friend that you had for a long time. You don't even know hardly how it happened, but it's just the wounds are too deep now that it seems irreparable. Like you're not going to be able to reconcile this one. Like they have no interest in reconciling. So how is it even possible? Is there kind of a hopeless relationship that you wish that God would mend, that you wish God would bring back together? You know it's out of your control because you've already tried to mend it and it didn't work. I'm asking about that relationship. You guys, the man they call Jesus is a reconciler of relationships. Would you lay that before him today? Let me just share one more. This is the one that I'm in right now. This is the one I'm laying before God. Is anybody in here battling an addiction to something? Or you just feel like you just can't let it go. You've tried every diet. You've tried every tactic. You've tried every way you can come up with, and it just, nothing works. You're to the point now where you're like, maybe this is just me, and I'm just going to kind of ride this out till I die. You've tried over and over and over and over and over, and you can't seem to make up any ground for any significant amount of time. You just revert back to this addiction, whether it's pornography or food or alcohol or drugs or money or success, whatever you're addicted to, you just can't seem to shake it. I'm just asking if that's you, and I'm asking, would you lay that before Jesus this year? Because Jesus, the man they call Jesus, is the breaker of chains. He's the usherer of us into freedom, where we live free and we go, I mean, I don't know about you. That's where I'm at. Where I'm just kind of like, man, I cannot break this thing. And I need Jesus. Like if it happened to me this year, I would have no logical way to explain it other than to say, Jesus did that for me. What's the one thing that you would like to lay before God that this morning that you just want to take a minute and you want to pray and you want to pray with boldness that between now and Three Creeks turns two, that God would do a miracle in your life, something beyond your ability to do it yourself? I'm not talking about trying harder, I'm not talking about working harder. I'm talking about laying it before God and saying, God, I need your help. Would you do this? I'm telling you, there's not a better feeling than experiencing something that you know you didn't do yourself, that God intervened for you. Would you guys just bow your heads just for a minute? I just want to give you 2 minutes to think about that. What's that thing for you? What do you want to lay before God this morning? Just start praying now. All right, y'all can look up here at me. You guys, year two is coming up. We're on the brink of something special. I'm telling you, we're on the brink of something special. I believe that we're going to see God work in our lives like you haven't seen before. I just believe with all my heart that we are going to be witnesses of things that only God could do. You guys, in 2 weeks, I'm just going to tell you a couple things that are happening this year. Is that all right? Can I end with that? Is that all right? So in 2 weeks, we are starting a Three Creeks youth group. Look at this thing right there, man. Come on. We're starting a Three Creeks youth group. If you are or have a student in 6th, 7th, or 8th grade, Sunday nights, 5 o'clock, our kids director, Erica Wallace, is leading the charge. If you like middle school kids and you like free pizza and you're interested in helping out with Three Creeks Youth, go to Three Creeks Central after church. We're doing 2 services for Easter this year for the first time ever. Let's clap for that one too. We're going to do that. We hope that you invite your family and your friends. We're going to talk about Jesus and what he did and how it can change our lives this summer. We're not having one, but we're having 2 youth groups come and help us serve the city of Gahanna. This fall, we are dreaming up. I'm having some meetings with Melanie, the principal of this school. We're dreaming up some ideas on how to serve these families. I can't even tell you the details right now because it's in the works, but you just got to trust me. There's going to be an opportunity to do week by week to week to week consistent ministry to this school, this family. It's going to be awesome. You guys, I sat in a meeting with all the Gahanna pastors about a month and a half ago, and Grin came in. Grin's an organization here in town. Tyler talked about it a little earlier. They said, hey, we're wondering if maybe, you know, all these churches doing all these different Christmas things. They were like, hey, Three Creeks, would you just kind of lead the charge and kind of bring everybody together? We're just going to do the Gahanna gift shop for everybody. And it was a unanimous vote. Every other pastor in Gahanna raised their hand. They said, we're in. And so the Gahanna gift shop just blew up way bigger than I'm able to get a control. And so, I don't know, we're going to do 5 or 6 or 7 schools next year, but God is just paving the way, showing us favor in that. And so we're going to step into that. Oh yeah, this is kind of fun. Look around. There's not a whole lot of empty seats. There's just not a whole lot of empty seats. And so, man, I'm dreaming and I'm praying that God, if God would be the one that would help this grow, then at some point we've either got to move buildings or we've got to go to 2 services. And maybe year 2 would be the year where we have to make that move. And I'm telling you, there are a billion reasons why that would be the healthiest thing for our church and the healthiest thing for your faith. And I will lay that out for you another time. I don't know if this one matters to you. It matters a lot to me. It matters a lot in the church planting world. A lot of times when churches plant, they have to be supported financially by other churches for like 3 or 4 or 5 years. It's a very normal thing. We've had our mama and our grandmama church movement and encounter supporting us so far. The plan was to do it for 3 years, but if we needed a little bit more, that they would actually go a little further. And we've said to both of them, man, hey, God is just, he is inspiring generosity within our people. And so on June 30th this year, we are cutting the cord. We are pulling the plug. We are saying, hey, thanks, but no thanks. Save your money because we want to plant more churches. Is that amazing? Is that awesome? Can we clue? I'm surprised Mark didn't start a standing ovation there. We're not going to take your money anymore. We're excited, man. We're excited because their church and a couple other churches, if we do that, we can all start saving more money and we can plant more churches a lot faster than we plan to. And we're so excited about that. If you were here a year ago, service number 1, would you guys stand up for me real quick? I just want to take a minute. I just want to talk straight to you guys. And I just want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for being here from day 1. From me, from Morgan, from my kids, thanks for loving us. Thanks for praying for us. God is honored that you would have done this with us. He has delighted in watching you serve. Are you listening to me? He is delighted in watching you take a risk to be an entrepreneur, to be a pioneer, to help start this church. Nobody can take that away from you. And I just want to tell you from the bottom of my heart, thank you guys so much for locking in with me, for serving way more than you should have to, and for doing this thing, not for me, but for God. He is honored in that. You guys stay standing. If you have jumped on board in the last year, maybe you weren't here the first Sunday, but now Three Creeks is your home church. Would you guys stand up? I want to talk directly to you guys just for a hot minute. I've been praying for you, man. Brad Numbers, I've been praying for you, dude. I'm telling you, I've been praying for you. I've been praying for all you guys that have jumped on board in this past year. In my prayers, I call you guys the second wave. I say, God, please bring us the second wave of people, the people that will come in and that will fortify our teams, that will give us a boost, that will be energy, that can continue to invite more people that they know to our church. I have been praying for you. I want you to know that you're an answer to my prayers, and God delights in the fact that you have jumped on board. You have taken a risk. You didn't go join some other church that has a lot better programs than us, but you said, hey, let's go figure out how we can serve Gahanna with this young church. And I just want to say, thank you. We need you. We need you. Will the rest of you guys that are still sitting stand up? Not real sure who you are, but you're here today. God had a reason for you to be here today. And if you have just kind of watched Three Creeks from afar, you watch us on social media, or you have a friend or a family that goes here, I just want to ask you if you would just, if you have, keep praying. And if you haven't, we're asking that you would pray for us. We want to make the name of Jesus great in this city. This whole thing is about Jesus. The whole thing is about Jesus. It's the only name that deserves any credit today. This party is not for me. This party is not for you. This party is for Jesus. It's the only name that's worthy of our admiration. It's the only name that we should sing about. It's the only name that is worthy of our praise. And so to sing Happy Birthday, Tyler, to explain, it's kind of an awkward song, right? Nobody really likes that song sung to them. And so rather than singing Happy Birthday to our church, let's sing a more appropriate song. Let's sing a praise song to the only name that deserves any praise at all. Would you guys join me in singing this song together?
Thanks for listening to the Three Creeks Church Podcast. To find out more about our church, attend a worship service, or to give online, visit threecreekschurch.com.